Hey, greetings everyone. This is Brother James at don'tperish.com, John 4:24 radio. Hope you're having a glorious day today. Want to bring you an audio, Simon DeWicke's Unbiblical Gospel. I want to welcome everybody. Thanks for listening. I've been doing a refuting series against this novice Australian man who decided to take to Facebook to post some lies about my ministry. Jesus said, rejoice when men do this in the book of Matthew, and I do, I rejoice. But I also want to give some answers to these heretical evangelical ways that Simeon is spreading that can stumble and deceive people. So I've been doing a lot of written articles. I thought it was time to do an audio, and bear with me, I'm battling a cold. I don't think it's COVID. So bear with me as I do this audio. All right. Now, I've done quite a few posts, as I said. You can find them. Go to don'tperish.com. Go to the Unbiblical Teachers blog. Look up Simeon DeWicke, and I have, I think, five or six posts on there. There's a main testing of him that exposes his theology and his ways. Go there. I document his many, many lies and the things that he has said about my ministry. You know, Simeon has all the fruit of an unregenerated false convert. No John 13 love. In his last post, he told people they should pretend that James at don'tperish.com doesn't exist. Wow. Love you, Simeon. Yeah, I do. That's what he said, that they should pretend I don't exist. Where is the John 13 love in that? Now, I've shown him lots of love in the past. I tried to be an older brother to him. I tried to help him in his novice flesh. He turned on me. He turned on God's truth, and it's really quite sad. So today, I want to cover and go over his confused, hypocritical gospel, Path to Eternal Life. It's a fact. About a year ago, Simeon was looking to unite with us, agreeing with the gospel I preach, as we're closely united to his very godly older sister. But since then, Simeon has gone off to reading all kinds of heretic evangelicals. He's even out there quoting Calvinists. And so he is in a great ditch of heresy. Concerned for this young novice indeed. So I want to show you his gospel confusion to help everyone that may be listening and following along. So let's get to this. First, I want to lay out the biblical path to eternal life per God's word, so you can see the truth. And when you know the truth, then oftentimes lies are easy to see. As a full-time traveling street preacher and teacher online, I often preach the biblical gospel. I preach it every time I street preach, and I'm never far from the gospel. I believe the gospel answers everything that we need to answer in this Christian faith. So the gospel to eternal life. We must come to faith in Jesus Christ, his finished work, his death, burial, resurrection. There is no other way. This is God's act of grace, sending Christ, John 3:16. He opens the gate. Without him, we have no chance of entering in. We've ruined our perfect righteousness. We need his perfect righteousness. So the gospel starts with faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work. Then Jesus himself said, repent or you will perish. Repentance is a changing of your mind. Of course, when you change your mind, you change your ways, what you've changed your mind about, right? Luke 13:3, repent lest you all perish. So you place your faith in Christ, you have to have a turning of your mind and your ways. Right? Doesn't that make sense? It does. Jesus also said, you must be born again to see the kingdom of God, John 3:3. Now, this is an act that God does. We can't be born again of ourselves. But when God sees a willing vessel through faith and repentance, he will send the Spirit. He's a good father. And we become born again. Now, the Bible also admonishes us everywhere that we will be holy and obey as fruit that we are of him, new life in a saving faith, lest we will be cut off as we keep willful sin and rebellion. I want to be clear, it is not working for salvation. I already stated we can't earn our perfect righteousness that we need, but these works that come in that we're created for, according to Ephesians 2, is the evidence that we have a true saving faith and new life. It's the fruit of John 15:10 that Jesus talked about. Hebrews 10:26 says we'll be turned away with no sacrifice for sins if we willfully sin. And Hebrews 5:9, I'll read it later, talks about Christ made the way for those who obey. So, and lastly, the Bible also talks about you must endure in a saving faith to the end, or you will be lost. Jesus taught this in Matthew 24:13. Paul teaches it in 1 Corinthians 15:2. It's in many places in the New Testament. Endurance is part of a saving faith. Now, that's the biblical gospel. Faith in Christ's finished work, repentance, being born again, holiness and obedience. People would call that works, and enduring in the faith. That's the biblical gospel. It is a blood covenant that God ordained. And you and I must have all five. I put holiness and obedience together. All five of those concepts at work in our life to gain eternal life. Simeon in the past said, I like to make up a formula. I call it rightly dividing God's word, because it's clearly what God's word teaches all over its New Testament pages. And going back to the covenant, covenants have conditions. God always saved and dealt with man through covenants. Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Israel, the new blood covenant. We are in a covenant. Covenant is an agreement of two parties. God has done his part. Jesus said, it is finished. He did his part. Guess what? We have a part to do, and that includes the gospel I just gave to you. Faith, repentance, being born again. That's a work of God. Holiness and obedience as we strive and enduring in the faith. So I want to get right to his false, confused, hypocritical, evangelical gospel. I want to explore that. So Simeon has made it clear that he believes in the solas, and he states and stands hard on faith alone, grace alone for salvation. He teaches and he said that works have no part in salvation or justification before God at all. Is that what the Bible really teaches? Well, we're going to look at that. I will show you, it's my goal here, both that Simeon is confused or he's lying, and he's hypocritical on what God's word says and what he does in his own life, all regarding this saving faith. And saving faith does matter. I'm going to prove it to you. Saving faith with works does matter. Let's go to a book in the Bible that Simeon's evangelical teacher, Martin Luther, who was a baby baptizing, Mary praying, Christmas practicing, Jew-hating heretic. That's who founded the evangelical faith. I always like to tell people that. The Bible says mark and avoid men like that. Romans 16:17. Simeon and evangelicals embrace his doctrines. How wicked. Martin Luther believed in killing Jews. Yeah, he said, tie a millstone around their neck and throw them in the river. That's how you baptize a Jew. I have his quotes on my website. Look it up. So I want to go to the book of James that Martin Luther wanted thrown out of the Bible. Oh, isn't that lovely? Also Hebrews and the book of Revelation, Martin Luther did not want in the Bible. What a wicked, wicked man he was. False teacher all the way. Also, Martin Luther is the one who said, sin boldly, don't just sin a little, sin boldly. And he said, you could murder 1,000 times a day and nothing will separate you from Christ. That is absolute heresy. Revelation 21:8 says murderers won't be in the kingdom of God. I'm going with God's word, not with Martin Luther. So back to the book of James. I want to read you a long section of James. Here we go. 14 through 25. James 2, 14 through 25. What doth it profit, my brethren, if the man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which they are needful of the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. By the way, that's the only place faith alone is ever mentioned in the Bible, is where James is refuting faith is not alone. I just like to throw that in there. Verse 18. Yay, a man. Oh, by the way, Simeon already admitted also in one of the testings that I did that it doesn't really say faith alone, grace alone, like the reformers exactly say. It doesn't really say that in the Word of God. Yeah, that's because they twist Scripture and make it mean something it doesn't really mean. Yeah, Simeon actually admitted that. Verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there's one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son up on the altar? See thou, now faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. I love that right there. By works, faith is made perfect. That's exactly what we're battling and striving over right here. 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Notice Abraham believed, and then by faith, he was given righteousness, right? And he also was the father of many nations, right? Amen, he was. Verse 24, and you see then how by works a man is justified, not by faith alone. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? Folks, I just read to you James 2. Holy Spirit inspired, Brother James. Faith and works go hand in hand. I don't know how it could get much clearer. I can see why Martin Luther wanted that book thrown out of the Bible. It trashes, totally slices up his heretical theology. I personally am thrilled to know that I teach the exact same gospel that Jesus' brother, Brother James, Holy Spirit inspired, teaches in the book of James. All the Bible people that you read about that had a saving faith, it was backed up by what? The works of holiness and obedience. James says, making it perfect, right? James even says it justifies. I think he said it twice there. Go wrestle with God about that, all right? People always tell me all this and that. You go wrestle with God about that. That's what God's word says. Now, Simeon, when I quoted that earlier in one of my refutings, tried to explain it away, saying it's this type of faith. Go read the refutings on my Unbiblical Teachers blog. Go to don'tperish.com, go to the Unbiblical Teachers blog, and look up Simeon DeWicke. Or you can just Google Simeon DeWicke Exposed. I come up on first page number one usually. The truth is, God's word is crushing this young novice, fleshly novice. I hope to his repentance and coming to himself one day because I care for his soul. Now, I want to key in on a quote from Simeon that exposes his confusion, lies, hypocrisy, whatever you want to call it, about the gospel. He is sadly so tossed about on doctrine, this way, that way. Sadly, this is the fruit of his house. His dad and his four brothers are all that I can know and see are in a shipwreck of various unbiblical or worldly ways. Yeah, including Simeon. This is what happens when you're not a Berean holding fast to God's word. Everyone goes in their own direction and everybody makes up their own doctrines and everybody gets swept away. I want better for them. I'm trying to help them contending here, but they're very, very stiff-necked and rebellious indeed. I've reached out to the father, I've reached out to Jem and emailed him for a while, and he ran away when I brought up filthy rags doesn't mean what he says it means. I have an article on that at the teaching blog. They don't want to hear the hard truth of God's word because what it's going to do is it's going to call them to holiness and obedience. Get rid of your pagan holidays. Get rid of your feminization. Get rid of your pride and vanity, how you dress. Get rid of your worldliness. Get rid of your false teachers that you've loved your whole life, like A.W. Tozer, Mr. Mystic, Roman Catholic leaning, false gospel man. I have a testing. Look it up at the Unbiblical Teachers blog or Google A.W. Tozer Exposed. My testing comes up. So, I want to make sure that you understand the fruit of this household. I want better for them. And I want to refute this faith alone gospel. And so what I did in one of my refutings was I asked, would Noah have been saved by faith alone if he didn't obey God? And I want to share with you, this is what Simeon said, quote, Simeon, who believes in faith alone, grace alone. He said, quote, did Noah become righteous with God by obeying the instructions to build an ark? Did he gain God's grace by acting in obedience to God's instructions, as Jim claims? No. Just like every other person in history, Noah became righteous with God through his faith, as Hebrews 11:7 tells us. And then he quotes Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah being warned of God of things that not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. End of quote. Did you notice? Simeon uses Hebrews 11, and right in Hebrews 11, faith and works go right together. Noah was fearful. Hey, all these evangelicals tell me it's easy. You just believe in God and you go to heaven. What was Noah fearful about? He knew he had to obey God or suffer the consequences. We'll get to some verses on that. So yeah, even Simeon quotes Hebrews 11 that everywhere backs up faith and works. Now, it's true that faith produces works of obedience. We know that's a fact. Go read John 15. Jesus said, we will have much fruit. So this is very, very important. Works, holiness, obedience, fruit. These are all the same things. Fruit of the Spirit, fruit of God at work in us, fruit of a saving faith. Amen? Amen. So then Simeon goes on to say this, quote, so no, Noah would not have been saved and found righteous if he had not obeyed the instructions of God. Not because by obeying he earned the grace of God, but by obeying he proved his faith was genuine. It was that faith that made him righteous before God. End of quote. All right. So per Simeon, works prove you have a genuine faith. That is exactly what the book of James just said. I don't know why Luther didn't like it, because Luther was teaching easy believe heresy. Luther ran from Roman Catholicism, man-made work salvation, across the road of truth and into the other ditch of easy believism. But that's another whole story. It sounds like Simeon's path in so many ways. So, again, works prove you have a genuine faith. This is exactly what James and what I teach in the streets and on my website. But yet, evangelicals and Simeon have called it works-based. When we call them out of their sin and tell them they got to repent and obey God, they say we're works-based, yet he just said Noah had to obey God to prove his genuine faith. Interesting. I'll get back to that. I have some points here I want to further discuss to expose Simeon's false gospel. First, Genesis 6 tells us why Noah found grace with God. Remember Simeon said, oh, he just found it just by faith? Genesis 6, 8 and 9. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Don't stop reading there. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Folks, if Noah did not walk with God and obey God and walk in righteousness and holiness and obedience and have much fruit, you think God would have spared him, or would he have killed him with everybody else in the flood? Yeah, faith and works, just as Brother James said right there. Paul and Jesus, also all over the New Testament, teach faith and works going together. I'll get to that in a bit. Number two, notice Noah had fear because God was going to kill everyone else that was violent and evil. Yeah, beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord, right? And Noah knew that faith and works go together. So if he didn't do what he's supposed to do, he's going to be in big trouble. Kind of like Uzzah the priest. Don't touch my ark with human hands. He tried to steady the ark and God killed him. Yeah, God is a consuming fire. All right. So if any of those people in Noah's day would have had faith in God, I don't know if any of them did, their evil works wiped that out and all hope of salvation. Because our works prove our faith proves our works. Even Simeon agrees with that. Noah was wise to fear, as I said, because he has to obey. He knows he has to obey. And he walked in faith. He was perfect in his generations. I love that. faith and works, again, going together. Number three, Simeon says, quote, by obeying, he proved his genuine faith, end of quote. Again, that sounds exactly like what Brother James said, what I teach, all right? It's too bad that Simeon and evangelicals don't live this way. Because when you talk about their sin, they say, oh, we're not saved by works. Yet they'll tell you, you got to obey to have a genuine saving faith. Do you see the confusion, the hypocrisy, the hiding in their sin? Yeah, it just keeps getting worse. This is the problem. I see this all the time. When I tell religious evangelical people they need to repent and obey God, come out of the world, come out of their false traditions, their pagan holidays, their feminization, their pride, their vanity, their false teachers, and it's fruit that they know God, Simeon and these evangelical types, they cry, works-based salvation. That's what they say to us. They're hypocrites, all right? Because on paper, they'll say, well, you're genuine faith will prove it with your works. But then when you catch them in their sin, we're not saved by not sinning. We're saved by grace and faith alone, which is also a lie, which we've been proving all along. So I hope you see what I'm chipping away at here is that they hold things. It reminds me of the Pharisees. Jesus said, do everything they tell you to do, but don't do it the way they do it, because they tell you to do something, they don't even do it themselves. Yep, that's evangelicals. They tell you Noah had to obey to have a genuine faith. They don't obey today to have a genuine faith. They're keeping pagan holidays. They walk with false teachers. They're keeping feminism. They're keeping pride and vanity. They're keeping worldliness. They're keeping unbiblical fleshly music. Yeah, you see what I'm talking about here. I told Simeon he needs to repent of all those things. Pagan holidays, pride, vanity, false associations, feminization. Yep, he was throwing around that I teach works for salvation. He's a confused man, or he's lying. You can decide. Now, fact. This is a fact. I'm only telling these people that they should go prove their genuine faith by obeying God and walking in all holiness and obedience the same way he just said Noah had to do it. Seems fair, doesn't it? So Noah had to obey, but Simeon doesn't have to, and the other evangelicals don't have to. That's not how it works. All right. This is confusion, hypocrisy. It's a false gospel that the evangelicals are involved in. Now, Simeon already agreed Noah would have died lest he obeyed. So I can safely say that Simeon, his dad and his brothers, that household of men, they're going to perish in their sin unless they fully obey. Yeah, Noah had to fully obey. They have to fully obey. They're going to perish in their sin if they don't. Hey, God killed a couple in Acts 5 over one lie after grace had come. Simeon and his dad and brothers, they keep Christmas and Easter. Those are lies right there. They're going to be in great, great danger. Jesus said in Mark 7, keeping up man-made traditions void your worship of God. They do that. They're void. Their worship of God is in vain and void. So he already stated that we must obey to have show that we have a genuine faith. And so I'm contending to save souls because of that very reason. James 5:19 says, to pull a brother from sin, you save a soul from death. Hey, so much for faith alone, grace alone, right? You live in sin, you're going to die? Yeah. I'm not sure if Simeon is my brother at all, to be honest with you. At this point, he does not show the fruit of a born-again man. He needs repentance and new life is what it looks like. So it is faith and works united all over Scripture, no matter what this novice evangelical Simeon says. This is why I preach and call men to faith in Christ and his finished work, his shed blood and resurrection, to repent, change your mind, change your ways, to new life, ask God for a new heart and a new mind, strive on in holiness and obedience that proves your faith, and endure to the end. That's the biblical gospel. Souls are on the line here. This is why I contend earnestly for the faith, just as Brother Jude said. Fourth, I never ever teach we earn God's grace. That is a gift by faith we can never ever earn. We've already ruined our perfect righteousness. So the gift of God is opening the chance for us to have salvation. I'm going to be doing a teaching on Ephesians 2 coming up that I'm going to explain that more. But I do teach that obedience, holiness, and works, fruit, must follow or you will not have proof of a saving faith, you will not get the grace of God. We already proved Hebrews 10:26, you live in sin, willful sin, there's no sacrifice for that sin. God always called Israel and everyone to forsake their sin. Amen. So how this works is Christ gets us, forgives us, gets us on the narrow path by his shed blood and his resurrection. Now we must strive. He said so himself. I'm going to read that verse in a bit. Serving righteousness unto life, not sin that leads to death. I'm going to read that verse too in just a little bit. And then Christ will cleanse us. Of course, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to sin along the way. He cleanses us when we repent and leave that sin. He doesn't cleanse us if we sit and live in sin. I always use the example. If you're married and your partner goes out and has an affair with someone else, if you even think about forgiving them, the first thing you ask them to do, give up that other partner. Who's going to forgive their husband or wife while they keep that other partner? God's not going to forgive you. And that's a marriage covenant. We have a salvation blood covenant. God's not going to forgive you unless you let go of that sin. This is Christianity 101, but people with false, easy believe, faith alone, grace alone gospels have a hard time with this because they love their sin and their worldliness. So Jesus gets us on the narrow road. He cleanses us as we go, and we must strive to enter in because of what Christ has done. So clearly, faith and works go together all over. Do you see the pattern that I'm teaching here? And I'm going to read you a bunch of scriptures to back it up even more. Also, do you see the confusion, the evangelical hair splitting on faith and works, and the hypocrisy that's at work here? This is what happens, folks, when you read lots of theology books versus just the book. We have one book with truth. And men like Simeon and his dad and his brothers go and read all these authors and all these books and all these commentaries, and they're swept and swept away. I got a verse that they remind me of. I'll read that in a little bit. So now Luther and most of the evangelicals will say that you can live in sin. Everybody's going to sin a lot. And you still go to heaven because of grace. I wonder, does Simeon believe that? That's evangelicalism, mainstream. It's heresy. It tramples the blood of Christ. It makes a mockery of God's holiness and justice. Does Simeon believe that? Well, we have clearly established by using God's word, and I'm going to use a bunch more, that faith and works are united in a saving faith, per James. And we also see, as I've seen doing these refutings, that Simeon has a false, incomplete gospel that lacks much. Does he preach repentance? Does he preach you must be born again? Does he preach without holiness you won't see God, Hebrews 12? Does he preach you must obey, Hebrews 5:9? Christ made the way for those who obey. Does he teach that you must endure in the faith? I don't know what Simeon really believes, quite honestly, but I know what he has revealed is not biblical. What does he even preach for eternal life is my question. We can't know. Simeon, to my knowledge, has no public online ministry that I can see. If someone knows of one, please send it to me. Don'tperish@outlook.com. He just has a Facebook page lying about my ministry because he got in his flesh and he's upset that he's getting called out of his sin. His standing at home is being threatened because he's not the biblical godly man that everybody thought he was. Yeah, God's word is cutting him, Hebrews 4:12, and slicing him. And I'm glad it is, because it will bring him to himself if he'll repent. So how sad. He just has a Facebook page exposing and lying about me, but no public ministry preaching the gospel or teaching. Praise God, he's a novice. He shouldn't be teaching anyone at all. So let's get to those other verses. What about Apostle Paul, Brother Paul? Did he believe we must obey as fruit of our saving, genuine faith unto eternal life? Remember? Simeon believes that your works are just proving your genuine faith, right? He's splitting the hairs there. Paul does believe that. Hebrews 5:9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. Pretty clear right there. How about Romans 6, 16 and 17. They love to quote the book of Romans, but you know what they do? They slice it apart and take a verse here, a verse there. If you read the whole book of Romans, it's full of the complete picture of faith and works together. Romans 6, 16 and 17. Paul says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are whom you obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you." See that? Faith works to the doctrine, obedience. Faith and works. How about 1 Timothy 4:16? Brother Paul says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto thy doctrine." Doctrine means instructions. "Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save both yourself, thyself, and them that hear thee." Faith and works going together from Brother Paul. Hebrews 10, 26 and 27, we talked about it earlier. "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries." You don't live in your sin, folks. Jesus does not save you in sin. He saves you out of your sin. Brother Paul taught faith and works going together by the Spirit, not the flesh. Go read Romans 8. It's another great chapter. How about Jesus, our Lord, Master, Creator, Savior, and King? I just did an audio teaching, and it was called "Jesus Was Not a Faith Alone, Grace Alone Preacher." Go look it up at the teaching blog. Go to noparish.com, go to the teaching blog. Thousands of articles there for you. I got some scriptures here for you, just a few. The article has a lot more. Luke 13:24. "Strive to enter into the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." Sounds like faith in works, doesn't it? You got to believe and then you got to strive? Yeah. That's what Jesus taught. John 8:11. "She said, No man, Lord." He's talking to the woman. "And he said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Now go and sin no more." Must be faith and works together right there Jesus is talking about. How about John 14:21? "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that love me. And he that love me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him." You see the faith and the works together there Jesus is teaching? Yeah, that's exactly what he's teaching. Revelation 21:7, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God. He shall be my son." I love that verse. Jesus Christ clearly taught faith and works, holiness, obedience, fruit together. Go read John 15. It all comes out in our genuine faith. It's all part of the gospel that leads to eternal life. There's many, many more verses in the New Testament showing the path is more than faith alone, grace alone. They build their theology by picking out a few verses. That's called eisegesis. I'm going to make the Bible say what I want it to say. They pick out, cherry pick out verses instead of good exegesis. Exit the truth from God's word by reading all of the chapter, all of the letter, all of the New Testament, and framing your theology on that. Yeah, Luther didn't do that. He wanted to throw books away so he could build his easy believism. And men like Simeon follow his heretical false ways, swallow it hook, line, and sinker. I'm so sad for these people. That's why I contend for the faith. Very, very sad thing that's going on here. Again, it's hard to know what Simeon even believes on the gospel. Last year, he agreed what I preached. This year, he's leaning towards evangelicals, quoting Calvinists. Who knows what he's going to be swallowed up into next year. There's his dad, and there's five brothers. I think most all of the brothers are claimed believers since their adult lives. I'm just going to say this. I don't see and know of godly, holy lives or their ministry being done for God's kingdom in any of those lives. If I'm wrong, someone prove me wrong, please. And if I'm wrong, I'll repent and say I'm wrong. That's a troublesome picture. What do you got? Five and dad, six men Six men, most of them claiming a faith since adulthood. Are they laboring for the kingdom of God in good, sound theology? Have they come out of the world? Again, that's troublesome. There's worldliness, there's false heretical ways, false teachers, pagan ways, feminization in that home. Simeon and the men in his family, they remind me of this verse. Remember I told you about a verse? 2 Timothy 3:7. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's a sad, sad place to be in. Most people are in that place because they hold on to the world, their sin, false teachers, false doctrines. I want better for them. I fear for their souls. That's why I'm contending for the faith. So if you go to don'tperish.com, you can see the gospel link, and I have teaching audios under all 5 points of the gospel. You can go there and listen to them. I'd like to know which one of those five we can toss out. Faith in Christ, repentance, being born again, holiness and obedience, works and fruit, those go together, and enduring in the faith. Which, can we throw those out? Because the Bible teaches those all are the path to eternal life. So I've preached to you this biblical path to eternal life. It's not faith alone. It's not grace alone, as Simeon and his heretical evangelicals teach. I've shown you his hypocrisy, his confusion or lies, his twisting, his hair splitting, his covering for his own life, but saying Noah needs to obey to show his genuine faith. But Simeon doesn't have to. He can hang out with false teachers. When the Bible says, mark them, avoid them, warn them, turn away from them, reject them, Simeon can read them. He doesn't have to obey to prove his genuine faith. You do have to obey to prove your genuine faith. Now, what they're going to say is, yes, men must do works to prove their genuine saving faith. But again, the hypocrisy is, and it condemns all of them, they're not doing it themselves. As they live in sin, false traditions, heresy, feminization, pagan ways, I don't know. I guess they're relying on grace and faith alone, thinking God's going to wink at their sin. It's not going to happen. I just read you a bunch of scriptures that teach you you can't continue and live in your sin. It's to their coming destruction. It's why I'm contending for the faith here. The fact is, those that are changed by God's grace and His Spirit, they do not want to live on in any sin. They fight to leave sin. But yet I'm always fighting with men as they fight to hold on to sin. How sad. Is that not sad? That's not the fruit that they're born of God. We're to let go of that. Romans 12 says, be a living sacrifice. Let go of all sin and worldliness. They cling to hold on to false ways and what they love. It's not the fruit that they're born of God at all and have a genuine faith. And that's the real battleground here. Most evangelical types are clearly not even born again by their fruit. That may be the sad case for novice Simeon and his ill fruit. I want better for him and for them all. That's why I'm contending for the faith. Lastly, I want to talk about Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. I mentioned it earlier. I have a detailed teaching coming up on this, and I'm going to easily explain to you and show you the free gift, the grace, not by works, and why we can't boast, but what we must do in this covenant to strive and enter into eternal life that Jesus talked about, that he purchased, which is with his own blood. Stay tuned. I'm going to have that teaching on Ephesians 2 coming up. So I think I've laid out for you clearly, faith and works go together. James, Paul, Jesus, and the rest of the Bible backs it up. Simeon is in confusion, hypocrisy, lies. That's evangelicalism right there. I think I'm going to leave it right there. It's my prayer that you repent, whoever's listening, obey the biblical gospel to eternal life, and that you see it includes faith and works go together in a saving faith of holiness and obedience, proving you're a child of God, bought by his blood, indwelled with his Holy Spirit. Hey, let me know how I can help you in the faith. Go to don'tperish.com. Go to the teaching blog. You can email me anytime, don'tperish@outlook.com. We'll be on the road preaching the gospel again full time real soon. Looking forward to it. We love to contend for the faith. We love the Lord. We love our neighbor. We love our brothers and sisters. I hope this has edified you. Till next time, thanks for joining me. May God be praised.